be social, but I want to write down everything we discussed during the meal while it's fresh in my mind. I get it. After she finished writing her notes, she pulled up the website of an upcoming concert, pressing her lips together. You a fan? I asked. My son is. I wanted to get him tickets, but they were sold out in 3 minutes after sales opened. I kept hoping they'd put some additional ones on sale, but no luck. I have my entire family pulling strings. It's your lucky day. What do you mean? I have 2 tickets, and I don't plan on going. I'll have them sent to you. That would make Milo's month. Year, probably. Are you sure? Why don't you plan on going? Not a fan. I'll take them. Let me know how much they were, and I'll transfer the money to you. No need. I got them as a gift. I'll have someone at the club deliver them to you. Thanks. I appreciate it. She pulled up her calendar app. Hell, that looked like a nightmare. She was close enough that I could see the entries in detail. Those marked with red seemed work-related. Those in green seemed to mark activities she'd planned with her son. Soccer practice, soccer game, watching Scooby-Doo, sleepover, Jeremy comes over, make lasagna, quality time, activity TBD. You're thorough, I said, more to myself. I've never seen anyone schedule their free time in so much detail. I forget things if I don't do this. Easiest way to keep track of Milo's schedule, too. You spend a lot of time with him. I try. She shrugged, as if it was normal. But I'd witnessed firsthand what not trying felt like, so I knew exactly how special it was, how special she was. She brought up the wedding week on her calendar. This is what the schedule looks like in the 3 days prior to the wedding. The company we're renting the tent from will need 1 day to set it up. The next day, I'm taking care of all the decorations. Only the flowers and the chairs for the ceremony will be delivered on the wedding day, but I want the rest to be ready the day before. Is that okay for you? It means you'll have people milling around for 2 days before the wedding. I can squeeze everything in 1 day if it's too much trouble. I don't mind. I'm at the house only in the evening anyway. She nodded, absently rubbing the side of her neck with one hand. Was the neck a sweet spot for her? If I placed open-mouthed kisses there, would she moan? If I bit lightly, would she arch for me, beg for more? The wild desire to discover all her sweet spots slammed into me. I looked away from her neck and met her eyes. Her pupils had dilated a notch. Her breath was coming out faster. She clasped her iPad with both hands. Right, so the tent will be dismantled and shipped off the day after the wedding. I'll be there to supervise everything. She pointed on the screen at the schedule for the wedding and the day after. The night of the wedding was marked red until 4 o'clock in the morning, and then red again from 7 to 11 on Sunday. You don't have to come back so early on Sunday, I said. You can have everything shipped back on Monday. I don't care. Oh, but the tent company does. They want that tent back before lunch. Can't you have someone else oversee it? You're working the night before. My assistants work every other Sunday. My turn this time. She wanted to drive 40 minutes in the dark after a 20-hour workday. It wasn't safe. It was madness, and I wasn't going to allow it. Not in a million years. I'll make you a deal. Sleep at my house after the wedding. It's not safe for you to drive back that late. You'll be tired. She set the iPad on the table and shook her head.
I've done this before.
When the wedding was in the city, I assume.
Well, yes. I've had 2 out of town and spent the night at a local hotel, but your house is just outside Santa Monica.
How long does it take to reach your place without traffic?
40 minutes.
You'll get about 2 hours of sleep.
More like 1.5, she admitted. But I'm used to it.
Driving when you're tired isn't smart. She rolled her shoulders, crossing her arms over her chest.
Graham, it's fine.
It's not fine, I countered, moving my chair until I was so close to her that I could smell her perfume. Sweet and spicy. Why was she so stubborn? I had an inkling about what might change her mind. I was figuring her out. What if something happened to you? What about your son?
Oh, you're good. I'll give you that.
I'm guessing I'll have a sitter for the night anyway.
He'll be at my sister's.
Good, and you'll sleep at my house. She parked her hands on her hips.
I did not agree. We're discussing the idea.
Tell me the downsides.
It's not how things are done. I don't give a fuck about how things are done. It's not professional. I don't want to be in Matt and Amber's way. I didn't understand what she meant about Matt and Amber, but I wanted to set one thing straight. I am extending you the invitation, and I won't back down until I get a yes. Are we really fighting on this? We're negotiating. I leveled her with my stare, perching a hand on the headrest of her seat. When she moved her hands from her hips into her lap, her bare upper arm grazed against my forearm. A current of awareness passed between us. It went straight below my belt. The chemistry between us was crazy. Maybe having her under my roof wasn't the best idea. Her voice was a little uneven when she said, "Thank you for the invitation. I'll take you up on it." "Perfect." I was backing up my chair when Amber and Matt came back in. "I'm ready for the cake," Amber announced. As we tasted the different options, I paid more attention to Lori than the cake. She was pulling me deeper under her spell. I felt like I didn't even have a choice. She took notes while we voiced our opinions, and then we all got up to leave since we'd covered everything. "We're also going to need transportation after the party," Matt said as we were about to exit the room. "I already arranged that. All the guests are going to be taken care of." "For ourselves," Matt continued. "We're going to sleep in an airport hotel. Our flight leaves at 6 a.m., and crossing the city in the morning is a bad idea." "Oh, I'd been under the impression you'd be staying with..." "Never mind. I'll arrange transportation, of course." Now I understood her comment about being in the way. She thought Amber and Matt were sleeping at my house after the wedding. She slung her bag over her shoulder and only gave me a smile before leaving. A very small, very quick smile. I'd have given anything to know what went through her mind when she realized we'd be alone that night.
Chapter 7. Amber turned out to be one of my favorite brides. She was quick to decide and stuck to her decisions. Once we'd pegged down the invitations, the menu, the flowers, and the general decoration scheme, she relaxed. I'd been terrified she'd come up with outlandish requests. Honestly, I was still daunted by the possibility. We had 1 week left until the wedding. Plenty of time for her to hop on Pinterest and discover that some brides wanted rose petal cannons for their weddings and whatnot. However, either Amber didn't know about Pinterest, or she was better at resisting temptation than the rest of us mortals. But 4 days before the wedding, she did pull a number on me. "Can we still whip up a rehearsal dinner?" "Oh? What made you change your mind?" "My parents insist. My best friends are also arriving that day, and it would give me a chance to catch up with them. Can you take care of it? Is it too much work?" "I'll do it. Don't you worry about a thing." Most brides arrange their own rehearsal dinner, but with the commission I was getting, I couldn't say no. The only issue was that I had to ask Val to keep Milo at her house for that night, too, in addition to the wedding night. I knew my sister wouldn't mind, but I still felt guilty for having to ask her. I called Val as I approached my florist's shop. I had an appointment to discuss arrangements for another wedding. Val picked up right away, so I lingered in front of the shop to talk to her. "Hi, sis. What's up?" she asked. "Hi, Val. Listen, I'll make this quick. This weekend's bride decided that she wants a rehearsal dinner after all." "That means I get my lovely nephew for an extra night? Is that okay?" "Sure." "Thanks, Val. You're the best. And I'll have to skip Friday dinner, but I promise I'll make up for it." "Why don't you drop Milo off earlier? I'm trying to work shorter hours on Fridays, and knowing you will drop by will be a great incentive." Val was a great preacher about work-life balance, about taking time for yourself. In reality, the only time Val had taken an extended vacation had been when she'd been forced to, because she'd been in an accident that left her with a concussion, broken ribs, and a broken leg. However, she was trying to cut back on her hours, and I was happy to help. "That sounds great. I'll ask Haley to come early, too. We can do girly stuff. Paint our nails, make you pretty for the rehearsal dinner." "I'm the planner, not a guest." "You can still look pretty." "Are you implying I'm not pretty unless you and Haley work your magic on me?" I teased. "I did not say that." "You're not denying it either." "Where would the fun be in that?" Should I be afraid of what you have in store for me?
Always.
After hanging up, I added the rehearsal dinner to my calendar. I loved the spike of adrenaline that came with pulling off the perfect wedding on such short notice, even though I was so busy I could barely tell my ass from my elbow. I'd also had two corporate events this week. When I first went into this business, corporate events were my bread and butter. It was easy money, but it was boring work, and I needed a new challenge. I'd always loved weddings, and after attending a bunch of them, courtesy of all our Bennett cousins marrying in the span of a few years, I took the plunge. Now, I still did a few corporate events per month, but weddings made up most of my business. They were more work than corporate events, but I loved them. Plus, they brought in more revenue, which meant I could offer more to Milo. His college fund was growing nicely. Later that day, while I was waiting for my next client to show up, I received an email from Graham. I was sitting on a bench, slurping a cherry smoothie with too much agave syrup, watching the gigantic palm trees sway in the wind. Despite having lived in L.A. my entire life, the sight of the palm trees instantly brought on a vacation mood. From the bush to my right, a whiff of lavender reached me. It was a particularly relaxing moment, but the second I saw Graham's name pop up in my inbox, my heart rate went off the charts. This happened so often over the past few days that I was starting to feel silly. He'd emailed me the tickets to the concert. I could either print them out or show them directly on the screen of my smartphone. I immediately replied to thank him. From Graham Fraser to Lori Connor. My assistant had an electronic version of the tickets. They're attached. Have fun. From Lori Connor to Graham Fraser. Thank you so much. If you change your mind about payment, let me know. I'd be happy to buy them off you. From Graham Fraser to Lori Connor. I do want payment. I scrolled farther, but that was all his email said. I opened the attachment with the tickets to see if the price was on them, but it wasn't. When I closed the attachment, I saw that Graham had sent another email. From Graham Fraser to Lori Connor. Not monetary. I'd like to cook for you and your son one evening. Smile. I reread twice, didn't understand, then shot him an email for clarification. From Lori Connor to Graham Fraser. How is that payment? Means more work for you. From Graham Fraser to Lori Connor. Told you, cooking relaxes me. Especially when I'm in great company. Think about it. From Lori Connor to Graham Fraser. I will. From Graham Fraser to Lori Connor. You can't say no, though. It's payment for the tickets, remember? I laughed, but didn't reply. When my client arrived, I had to make an extra effort to concentrate on our discussion. She wanted a vintage wedding, and I couldn't recall all the themes off the top of my mind. My thoughts kept drifting to Graham and his invitation. What was happening here exactly?
Chapter 8. Just a few more. We'll be done quickly, I promise, the photographer said. The team's annual calendar shoot was about to wrap up. Usually I didn't attend, but this year Amber, as our PR and social media manager, had talked me into being in the calendar. You did well for your first photo shoot, Jennifer said, joining me on the couch where I'd sat for the past 10 minutes. She was Amber's assistant. Since Amber was at my house with Lori putting up decorations in the tent, Jennifer was in charge. I'd wanted to head out the second my portion was over, but the photographer insisted I stayed until the end in case she needed to reshoot something. I can't believe Amber talked me into this. Polls don't lie. Our Facebook fans voted for you to be in the calendar, she said. Amber had told me that before. What she'd failed to tell me was that they'd voted for the shirtless Graham option. I'd only found out when the photographer said, shirt off, please. Some heads up about the shirt would have been good. But then you would have said no. Smartass. Like I didn't have better things to do than take my shirt off for the camera. As the owner of the club, I was a jack of all trades. I was informed about all the activities, the future directions, and I chaired most meetings. One of my main tasks was setting up the annual planning and overseeing the execution. I was also in charge of player transfers.
We're done, the photographer announced to the room. We'd booked the entire studio for the day. Okay, everyone, let's head back to the club for the strategy meeting, Coach Dennings announced. I'm sitting this one out, I told him. He frowned, but nodded. It was the first time I was ditching a strategy meeting after a defeat, but I had a legitimate reason. Lori was at my house. Since we were having a rehearsal dinner, the schedule had moved forward by one day. They'd set up the tent structure yesterday, but the entire crew and Lori had already left by the time I came home. I didn't want to miss her today, too. As I headed out, my own assistant called me, asking to confirm my father's allowance before it went through. Yes, wire the money, I confirmed as I climbed in my car, then ended the call. My relationship with him was rocky, but we had an agreement. As long as he didn't bother Nana, he received a nice sum every month. He'd never been interested in running the club or working in general. My grandfather had run the club until he passed away. I was 26 at the time, working as the PR and marketing manager. My father, who'd finished off his trust fund by that point, took over the reins, despite not having worked a day in his life. 2.5 years later, the club was nearly bankrupt. He'd used it as his own personal ATM. When shit hit the fan, he resigned. I stepped in as president of the club. Then I found out he'd convinced Nana to sign off her restaurant as collateral to settle one of his debts. He'd defaulted on it. The restaurant was all Nana had. After ditching my grandfather, she moved to Tampa and bought the restaurant with a divorce settlement. Losing it would have crushed her, so I paid off the debt. But I knew he'd turn to her again if he got into trouble. Sending him a monthly allowance for doing nothing was a safer bet. Nana had dealt with enough crap from my grandfather. She didn't need a son leeching off her, too. When I approached my entrance gate, I spotted Lori's car farther down the street. I found her inside the tent, perched on a stool, securing the end of a piece of linen in a corner. Everyone else seemed to have left already. Yesterday, the tent had been bare. Now, it was adorned with decorations of all kinds. The tables and chairs had also been arranged in wedding formation. Lori didn't give any signs of hearing the approach, even though my steps were echoing across the floor. When I was close enough, I realized she was tapping her foot against the edge of the chair. She had earbuds plugged in. After stepping down from the chair, she clapped her hands twice, shimmying her hips, then slowly turned around. Her grin was so wide it lit up the space. Then she glimpsed me. "Oh my God," she took out her earbuds, laying them on her shoulder. "I didn't hear you." "You're the last one here?" "Yes. Amber and my assistant just left. How come you're home so early?" "Because I needed to see you. We had the calendar photo shoot today. Didn't feel like heading to the club once it was over." "Ooh, that calendar is my guilty pleasure. And this year you're in it too, right?" I cocked a brow. "How do you know?" "Amber and Facebook. I voted for the shirtless option, obviously. Please tell me you didn't chicken out and went through with it. It had the most votes." Finding out that Lori had a feisty side was a very pleasant surprise. I felt like keeping her on her toes a while longer. "You'll have to wait and see." "So, what were you celebrating when I interrupted?" I asked, moving closer.
"Nothing in particular. I like listening to music when I'm alone. It's been a productive day. I finished putting up the decorations and I'm taking my boy to a concert tonight. A fine gentleman got us tickets. Thanks again."
"No problem." I was close enough to hear a faint sound coming from the earbuds, but I stepped closer still. I wanted to share this moment with her, so I put in one earbud. Johnny Cash was singing a classic. "That's a great song."
"I know," she said a little smugly. I suspected that if I weren't here, she'd still be clapping and moving her hips. I wanted in on her happy moment to celebrate it with her. She was grinning again. Her joy was contagious. I couldn't remember the last time I'd felt that way. When I put the earbud back on her shoulder, I couldn't help myself and touched her collarbone. Her eyes widened, but instead of stopping me, she sighed softly. That little sound was my undoing. I knew that touching her wouldn't be enough. I needed to taste her. So I dragged my knuckles down her cheek, framing her jaw with my thumb and forefinger. She licked her lips. I claimed her mouth the next second. I took my time, lavishing her lips with attention before coaxing her tongue with mine, savoring her like the prize she was. Her hair was pulled in a braid, but I buried my hands in it anyway. Her warm body pressed against mine, and feeling her full breasts was torture. Touching her hair wasn't enough anymore. I moved my hands down her body, stopping briefly to cup the sides of her breasts, flicking my thumbs over the peaks. Lori ran a hand through my hair, tugging until it was airing on the side of painful, but I liked it. I loved that I could unleash her passion just with a kiss. I continued my exploration, moving my hands downward. When I palmed her ass, she moaned against my mouth and pressed her thighs together. She was wet for me. I was sure of it. It took all my self-restraint not to spread her out before me and confirm it with my fingers or my tongue. I nearly yanked her top and jeans away. I needed everything separating me from her skin out of the way, but we weren't there yet, so I held her and kissed her until we were both out of breath. "You taste amazing," I said. The skin around her mouth was red, and her eyelids were slightly hooded. "Stay here this evening. I'll make you dinner. We can pick up Milo and come back here."
"The concert is tonight."
"And if it weren't," I pressed, "I'd forgotten about it."
Are you asking me out?" she whispered.
"Fuck yes, I'm asking you out. Or in. I promise I'm great company, either way." I rubbed the back of my hand along her jaw and she shuddered, pulling at her lower lip with her teeth.
"Pretty full of yourself, huh?
I want us to get to know each other better." I'd avoided emotional connections since my divorce, and I didn't know if I was ready for one anyway, or if I'd ever be. But I felt a pull toward Lori, and I'd be a fool not to act on it, especially when the feeling was mutual. "Fuck, you don't want to know what's on my mind right now."
"I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're not thinking about the wedding."
"Close. The night after. If I have it my way, it'll involve a lot less clothing and a lot more skin-on-skin contact."
"Maybe I shouldn't spend that night here."
"You have that little self-restraint? I'd be able to control myself, but if you think you won't..." She stepped back, interrupting me.
"I didn't say that."
"Don't worry. I won't mind if you take advantage of me."
I don't even know what to say to that."
The sound of a phone vibrating again filled the air. She lowered her gaze to her pocket.
"That was my phone. My reminder that I have to pick Milo up from school. I should leave. I want to feed him before the concert, and I'm done for the day here."
She moved away, picking her bag up from one of the tables and slinging it over her shoulder.
"I'll see you at the wedding."
"You mean tomorrow at the rehearsal dinner," I corrected.
"Yes, of course. That's what I meant. I mixed things up."
She nodded a little too enthusiastically. "You never mix things up. I make you feel off balance."
"No, you don't."
"That's okay, sweetheart. You do the same to me." I watched with satisfaction as her lips parted slightly and she gripped the sling of her bag tighter. Then she turned around and walked toward the front gate at a brisk pace. Off balance was one way to describe it. Currently, I felt like my world had shifted off its axis.
Pulse racing? Yep. Legs wobbling? Like it was their job. Butterflies in my stomach? Ooh la la. I couldn't wrap my mind around the kiss, mostly because I was still busy reliving it. As I picked Milo up from school, I fought to pull myself together, and failed. That kiss deserved to be relived anyway. When we arrived home, I prepared Milo's favorite snack, peanut butter sandwiches. Our excitement was palpable in the air. Milo was excited about the concert. I was still reeling from the kiss. Graham Fraser had brought a lot of joy to the Connor household. "Milo, let's get you ready." I'd printed the tickets earlier in the day and flaunted them in front of him. His eyes lit up. He hopped over from his chair and climbed straight into my arms. I held him as best I could, hoping I wouldn't throw my back out in the process. He was too heavy for me now, but I'd never say that to him. He rarely wanted to be in my arms now anyway, mostly only when he was sick, so I was gobbling up these opportunities whenever I could. We were out the door within minutes and hopped into an Uber. The area around the arena was closed to traffic, though, so we walked on foot for about 15 minutes after we climbed out of the car. We were surrounded by other concertgoers. Laughter filled the warm evening air, and Milo tried to wiggle his hand out of mine repeatedly, excited to inspect the booths selling memorabilia. I hadn't looked closely at our tickets, but when security at the entrance checked them, he said, "Ma'am, you're sitting in the VIP section. There's a separate entrance." Milo formed an adorable O with his mouth. He might be 7, but he understood VIP. A few short minutes later, we arrived in the VIP area. Milo squealed with joy. "Mommy, these seats are so nice." "They are, aren't they?" The seats in our section were covered with a velvet-like fabric, while the rest were plastic. As I led us to our seats, I found myself hoping, foolishly, that Graham would be here too, that he'd actually had 3 tickets. But when we arrived at numbers 9 and 10, I took in our neighbors. An elderly lady and her nephew occupied numbers 11 and 12, and a young couple and their daughter, who seemed to be Milo's age, sat in numbers 6, 7, and 8. No Graham. Of course, this band was popular with kids, hence all the parents and grandparents. But I couldn't shake off the twinge of disappointment in my stomach. What was up with that? Milo and I sat down, but as the band appeared on stage and kicked off the performance with a fan favorite, we jumped to our feet, singing and dancing. We didn't sit for the rest of the concert. I was pretty sure we'd both lose our voices tonight. I snapped pictures of the band and selfies of Milo and me throughout the evening. When we returned home, Milo went out like a light the moment I tucked him in. As I slipped into my own bed, I thumbed through the pictures I'd taken at the concert. On a whim, I sent Graham a picture of Milo with the stage in the background. Lori. The concert was amazing. I hadn't expected Graham to answer tonight, but I received a text message a few minutes later. Graham. Very cute boy. What's his name? Does he like the Hurls, too? I received tickets for it last month. Lori. His name is Milo, and he loves them. That would be great. You made this little boy very happy tonight. Graham. Did I make his mother happy too? Lori. Definitely. Graham. I request photographic evidence. I sent him a selfie of the two of us. Graham. You have a beautiful smile, Lori. I wasn't just smiling in the picture. I was sporting a grin that took up my entire face, the kind of photo dentists might display in their waiting room. Lori. Thanks. And I will pay you for the next tickets. Graham. Of course you will. In spades. But not with money. A sizzle coursed through me, energizing me from the tip of my toes through my sternum. Lori. That's right. Dinner. Graham. I've upped my price in the meantime. Lori. Oh? And what does the new price entail? Graham. I'll tell you in person. Oh boy. That sizzle turned into a full-on inferno. Graham had made my body come alive in ways no one had before him. Even though hours had passed, it sure hadn't dimmed the adrenaline spike from his kiss. Chapter 9. On Friday, I arrived with Milo at 4 o'clock at Val's house. My sisters were in the kitchen, and I was surprised to find that Jace had arrived earlier, too. He was leaning against the counter. Milo shot right toward him. Uncle Jace, can you show me that dribble you did in your last game?
That was the result of 2 months' work, buddy. If you tried it now, you'd break a leg and your mama would hang me from my feet.
I chuckled, knowing he'd been about to say balls. I'd instated an ironclad no-swearing rule since Milo started repeating everything he heard. 5 years later, my brother still had trouble adhering to it. Sometimes, so did I. When the shit hit the fan, F just didn't give me the satisfaction saying fuck did. At Milo's disappointed expression, Jace added,
"But we can work up to it. I'll show you the basics today."
That put the smile right back on my boy's face. I kissed both my sister's cheeks, and then Jace's. "You've got some new plants on the porch. They're beautiful." Val nodded.
"All Maddie's work."
Maddie was a very talented landscaper. A few months back, she'd redone Val's entire yard. I couldn't wait for the jacaranda trees to be in full bloom. You're here early, I remarked.
Practice ended earlier. Thought I'd show Milo some tricks before dinner.
I gave my brother a second kiss on his cheek, just because. Milo skidded to the backyard without waiting to be told. You should go after him, Haley told Jace.
Are you shooing me out?
He inquired. It's for your own good, Haley insisted.
Or you might unwillingly partake in girl talk, Val explained. I'm out of here.
As soon as he was out the door, Val asked,
Should we take the party upstairs? I don't want my kitchen smelling like nail polish.
Sure, I'd love to raid your closet for a scarf. Even when she didn't have the budget for a fancy selection, my sister's closet had been a treat. But over the years, her wardrobe expanded. It was a treasure island. I already had a dress for the wedding tomorrow, and I was wearing my usual attire for the rehearsal dinner, a navy dress with a sweetheart neckline and a wide silver belt around the center. But I wanted to accessorize it with one of Val's scarves. Since it got chilly in the evening, I was also wearing a black velvet jacket.
So, trying to make an impression, huh? Val asked when we entered her room.
Haley didn't quite manage to disguise her smug smile, which meant they'd talked about me before I arrived. It was my own fault for giving them gossip fodder and telling them about the kiss yesterday.
Is she blushing? Oh my God, she is, Haley exclaimed.
And she hasn't even had red wine. Red wine did not agree with me. I always looked like I was developing an allergy after one glass.
It's just a scarf, I said. I have a few that go with your dress, Val said, as Haley and I sat cross-legged on her bed, uncapping the bottles of nail polish.
Val took out a gorgeous red silk scarf, and another one, ivory with beautiful lace details in the center.
If you want to knock someone off his ass, I'd go with this one.
Val pointed to the red one.
Got my vote too, Haley piped up.
I was drooling at the sight of it, but I knew I couldn't wear it. It stood out too much to qualify as work attire. The ivory one, on the other hand, was perfect.
I'll take the ivory one. The red one stands out too much. And who said anything about knocking anyone on his ass?
Haley was hiding her face as she applied a coat of red polish on the nails of my right hand. Graham seems like a great guy, Val said, now plugging in the curling iron.
How would you know? I inquired.
Haley was the one who answered. We scooped every detail out of Jace, of course. I groaned.
Girls.
What? Val asked innocently.
You almost melted into a puddle when you told us about the kiss. Thought that warranted some detective work to make sure he's not a total shit.
She didn't say it out loud, but I knew she'd meant to add, like Jeff. I'd told them about his email, and they had both suggested a more aggressive approach, such as replying with all the expletives in the world. They argued it was a better way to get things off my chest. I had the tendency of playing out ugly conversations in my mind until I got myself in a funk, but I still thought ignoring him was better than engaging. When Val went to the bathroom to get the hairspray, I whispered to Haley, I dreamed about sexy fun with Graham, repeatedly. Talking to Val about these things had always felt a little weird. Maybe because, for so many years, she hadn't just been our older sister, but more of a mother, and I still saw her like that. Haley was my confidant for all things sexy. Well, had been, back in the days I'd actually had anything to confide other than X-rated dreams.
Completely normal, considering how hot he is, Haley reassured me.
But that doesn't mean anything.
Would it be so bad to have some fun? Val asked, returning with the hairspray.
Clearly, she'd overheard me.
Yeah, it would. For the next few years, I'm sticking to daydreaming.
Even as I said it, I felt a pang of emptiness. After that kiss, I'd wanted to jump him right there, then pop open every button of his shirt and roam my hands over his bare torso. His muscles had felt exquisite even through the fabric, but I'd been greedy to touch and lick his skin. I tried to push that hot memory away.
Why don't you shake things up a bit?
Be wild for a little while, Val suggested.
When is the last time you've been wild, sis? I challenged.
I often thought my oldest siblings never got the chance to live a little and be wild, let loose.
Val had jumped from juggling the pub and our family to building her business. Sometimes I wondered if Val would even know how to let loose and be wild. Ugh, I think navel piercings were in style. But we're not talking about me, are we? Val asked. Girls, I'm a single mom, remember? I don't just have myself to think about. Single parents do date, you know, Val said. Deep down, I knew that. But I wasn't sure how to go about changing things without shaking the precarious balance Milo and I had reached. Sometimes I wonder if you're single to protect Milo or yourself, Haley said. What do you mean? You're still afraid to put yourself out there. You're afraid to let a man in your life, Val explained. Of course I am. Was I not supposed to be? Dating doesn't always lead to something permanent, obviously, Val said, pointing to both her and Haley. But you've been alone for a long time. You deserve some fun. You girls are filling my head with crazy ideas. Mission accomplished. Val, pass me the quick dry, Haley said triumphantly. While Val used the curling iron on my hair, I did Haley's nails. We'd perfected the art of getting each other ready at the same time during our teenage years. An hour later, all three of us had our nails painted. Mine were bright red. My hair was styled in a high ponytail with curls cascading down on my back. I'd done my own makeup, trying on a subtle, smoky eyes look. I was rocking it. Val handed me a small, unlabeled bottle of perfume. "What's this?" I asked. "An exclusive sample." I sprayed the air and immediately fell in love with it. I detected notes of lilac, vanilla, and something spicy. "It smells amazing," she winked. "I know." Haley inspected me from head to toe, then gave me a thumbs up. "You're gorgeous." I felt gorgeous as I put on my shoes. I'd brought my trusted nude pumps because they looked sophisticated but were comfortable. I found Milo and Jace downstairs, gulping water and breathing heavily. "Wanna kiss me goodbye?" I asked my son. "Mommy, you're so pretty," Milo said, kissing my cheek. "You're working?" Jace asked slowly. I nodded. His brother senses were picking up on the trying-too-hard vibes I had going on. In those years when Will had been part-time bad boy, Jace had watched over me and Haley like a hawk. At 13, he'd seemed more like 16. Not only had he been tall, but his strong build had intimidated anyone who wanted to pick a bone with us. He'd gotten excellent at sniffing out bad intentions. Luckily for me, those instincts had dulled over the years. Jace didn't ask any more questions. Will would have. His instincts had only gotten sharper. I blamed it on him being a cop. He wouldn't have anything to sniff out, though. Yes, I was a little too put together for a working event, but a girl could indulge once in a while, couldn't she? For her own pleasure? Chapter 10. The rehearsal dinner was taking place in the wedding tent. Amber agreed that it made sense to host it there. "I'm so happy I listened to you about the flooring. I'd have fallen on my ass 5 times already otherwise," Amber said, tapping her right foot lightly over the faux oak flooring inside the tent. She'd initially protested, saying it was too expensive and we could just have a thick carpet instead. I'd explained that a carpet was a good option when laid on concrete, but Graham's yard was au naturel. Green grass as far as the eye could see. Looked beautiful but could be a death trap when wearing heels. We did lay a carpet inside the house, to protect the whitewashed oak floors from more than 80 pairs of shoes moving to the ceremony aisle on the deck and then back out to the tent. For the rehearsal, Amber wore an elegant pink beach dress. She had her wedding shoes on, white Jimmy Choos with 5-inch heels.
"Let's get this thing going,"
Matt rubbed his hands together, looking at Amber like she was walking on water. Earlier, I caught him asking her if those shoes were safe for a pregnant woman. What would happen to the baby if she fell? Amber replied that he'd better catch her. They were adorable. Not all couples were that way. I always watched with a heavy heart when they'd fight at every planning meeting, snapped at each other even on their wedding day. As Amber and Matt practiced walking down the aisle, I made note of the wedding party. 6 bridesmaids and 6 groomsmen. I swooped my gaze over every one of them, trying to memorize their faces. I tried to linger the same amount of time on each person, but when I reached Graham, I'd saved the best for last, I couldn't help indulging for a beat longer. God, the man was a work of art. Those lips, those cheekbones. Since he was talking to one of the groomsmen, I decided it was safe to indulge some more and took in the rest of him. I knew he'd seen me checking him out before I lifted my gaze. My body reacted to him. When I finally did look up, he was smiling at me, and he took my breath away. He gave me the once-over, lighting up every inch of me he studied. For the rest of the evening, I was aware of Graham no matter what I was doing, as if we were connected by an invisible line. He wasn't making things easy, either. Whenever he was by my side, he touched my lower back, my arm, or my shoulder. They were all innocent touches, but damn, did they make my skin tingle. Maybe because he lingered a little too long, leaned in a little too close. We were not alone, but in a rare moment when I was by myself in a corner of the tent, studying the schedule for tomorrow, he came next to me and whispered, "You're stunning tonight, Lori." His voice was thick and sexy, and I thought inexplicably of a lava cake. All that warm, flowing chocolate. Delicious. I felt his presence deep inside me, like a hook pulling right behind my navel. "Thank you." I tried to make sense of this crazy pull I felt toward him. Was it because he was handsome? Because I hadn't been with a man in 7 years? But I'd met handsome men before him, and I hadn't had the urge to climb them like I did with Graham. "Did you sleep well last night?" he asked. "I've always been a troubled sleeper, so like usual." "I'm not a troubled sleeper, but last night I couldn't stop thinking about you." I made a small sound at the back of my throat. It sounded like a little moan. "If you make that sound again, I'll kiss you right here," Graham said. I put some distance between us, pursing my lips. "Maybe I don't want you to kiss me." Pupils dilated. He touched my wrist. Pulse quickened. "I like my chances." He pinned me with that molten gaze of his, and I felt my skin heat up all over. If the chemistry between us would be any hotter, we'd set this place on fire. Our moment was interrupted by one of the bridesmaids asking if I had a hairpin. Afterward, I handed out tomorrow's schedule to everyone in the wedding party. Since the ceremony took place on the same premises, it required much less coordinating, but I still wanted everyone to know what was happening when. The maid of honor, Jackie, looked at me funny when I handed her the printout. "This seems like overkill," she commented. "I know all this." "You can throw it away if you want, but the wedding day can be hectic and emotional. Doesn't hurt to have it as a backup. You can fold it and make it very small. Won't take up much space in your purse. Up to you." She cocked a brow. "Isn't this your job? Reminding us what to do?" "Of course I'll do that. The printout is a bonus." Both brows lifted now. She turned on her heels and walked to the buffet. I'd ordered some simple canapés for food and had them set up on a buffet table in one corner of the tent. Tomorrow, there would be a 5-course menu brought by servers, but they wanted something simple tonight. I brought out the groom's cake toward the end of the evening, after Amber and Matt had given out the gifts for the bridal party and their parents. All that was left were the speeches. I'd told the couple it was a good idea to get some of the speeches out of the way today, so we wouldn't have a dozen of them tomorrow. Too many speeches tended to set a sleepy mood, and animating everyone for the party afterward was no walk in the park. Toward the end of the evening, I stepped out of the tent to call Milo and tell him goodnight. The smell of lavender and sage surrounded me, instantly pushing me into a zen state of mind. This yard was something. I'd spied apple and lime trees and even guava. After I finished talking to my boy, I saw Graham come up to me. "Those were quite some speeches," he remarked. "We'd heard 4, 2 from friends of Amber's, 2 of Matt's. One was okay. The other one, I especially liked the one who'd wondered if there would still be a wedding if Matt hadn't knocked up Amber," I said sourly. He'd said it jokingly, but the laughter he received sounded fake. Amber had been shooting daggers with her eyes at him.
"I understand what you mean about bad jokes now," Graham said. "Guy was always a bit of an idiot. They wanted to get married for years, but kept postponing it because they didn't have time to plan. Then Amber found out she was pregnant. Matt proposed the same day."
"That's a lovely reaction," I replied. My mind automatically flew to the day I'd found out I was pregnant. Something in my expression must have given away my trail of thought, because Graham asked,
"Brings up ugly memories about Milo's dad."
I don't think of him as his dad. He said we'll try to make it work, then changed his mind and bolted.
I'm sorry. You and Milo deserve better.
What can you do? Things don't always work out. But I have a great support system. Feeling the urge to lighten things up, I changed the subject. I forgot to tell you, Milo sends extra thanks for the tickets.
He's welcome. Both of you are. But do me a favor.
You kind of have me there. Ask me anything.
Anything. You're sure?
That might end up being the most dangerous thing you've said. If the tingling in my center was anything to go by, it was already the most dangerous thing I'd done. So what's the favor? He tilted his head playfully, as if considering this.
I'm reserving the right to cash in on it later.
Decided on a price for the new tickets?
I'm still adding up to that tally. Getting more ideas by the hour.
I sense they'll end up being expensive.
Very.
You know, I could change my mind and not accept them, right? He came a little bit closer.
But you don't want to, do you?
A gust of wind ruffled my hair, entangling my ponytail in my left earring. I fumbled with my fingers to disentangle it, but I couldn't see what I was doing, and I suspected I was making it worse.
Let me, Graham said.
I think I caught a strand from the back somehow. He walked behind me, and I stilled when his thumb touched my earlobe. He was so close that I could feel his hot breath on the back of my neck.
I like your hair up, he murmured. I had a perfect view of your neck all evening.
He freed the strand, and then traced the pad of his thumb up and down the back of my neck, from my hairline to the neckline of the dress, and then he placed an open-mouthed kiss in the middle. Feeling his wet lips sent a wave of shock to my body. Feeling the tip of his tongue on the skin he'd warmed with his thumb wired the next wave of shock straight to my center. He spun me around and our gazes locked. The pull he had on me was so powerful I couldn't look away even if I wanted to. I stopped hearing the waves, the voices filtering out from the tent. I felt alone with him in our bubble. He pulled me in for a kiss, and I lost all sense of time and space. His lips felt exquisite. I opened up for him. And when our tongues touched, I felt the connection straight between my thighs. I felt him slide one hand at the back of my neck, tilting my head at the angle he needed to explore me better, deeper. When he slid a hand down to my hip, his fingers digging into my flesh possessively, I whimpered at the realization I'd drenched my panties. Almost as if someone had poked our bubble, I became aware of our surroundings, the sea, the voices. With a start, I jerked my head back. Everyone was still in the tent, thank God. Lust was dancing in Graham's eyes. It was intoxicating to realize he wanted me. I felt my nipples turn to pebbles in my bra. How could one look affect me so much? Or maybe that was the lingering effect of the kiss. Why do you have to be such a great kisser? I'd hoped I imagined it, I whispered.
You didn't imagine it. You changed your perfume.
What? Oh, yes. My sister Val brought me a tester from the new collection.
I like it. Liked the other one, too.
No one's immune to her perfumes, I agreed.
Nah, it's just you. I'm not immune to you.
I'm still working, I murmured.
So proper.
He locked those gorgeous eyes on my mouth, and I felt myself starting to fall under his spell again. But I shook myself out of it. I needed to clear the air. Graham, I don't know what this is, but I'm not sure that I'm who you need. My life revolves around my son.
I like that about you. It's part of what attracts me to you. You're a fascinating woman, Lori.
Wow, I hadn't expected that. I didn't have the chance to dwell on his words, because as I shifted my feet on the cobblestone pathway, I slipped and fell so hard on my ass that the breath was knocked out of me. I thought I heard a rip. Too. I felt Graham's arms around my waist, lifting me up onto my feet.
Did you hurt yourself?
He asked, voice laced with worry. I shook my head, even though my tailbone still hurt like hell. I had bigger issues. When a gust of wind chilled my privates, I groaned. I'd ripped open my dress. The slit had been on the right thigh, but now it went all the way up. I was wearing sheer tights because it was too chilly in the evening for bare legs, but still, I held the loose parts together with one hand, but I couldn't go back inside the tent this way.
Lori, are you okay? Did you twist your ankle going down?
No, ankle's fine. My pride, on the other hand. Amber walked to us. What happened? I heard a cry.
That was me, I confirmed. I fell. The cobblestone is wet from the sprinklers. Take care where you step. We'll have to disable them tomorrow so no one else falls.
Amber took in the sight of my dress. You poor thing. Why don't you go home? We're done here. Normally, I stayed until everyone was gone to check that everything was set for tomorrow, but my dress wasn't decent anymore.
Yes, I'll do that. Sorry to take off earlier.
Amber waved her hand, smiling.
Ladies, Graham said, offering Amber and me each an arm. Allow me to escort you off this death trap.
Amber laughed as she snaked her arm around Graham's. I did the same because I didn't want to risk landing on my ass again. I warmed all over when Graham tucked me close. Once we were on steady ground, he let go of us, and I instantly felt cold where he'd touched me.
I need my tote. Can either of you bring it from inside?
I'll bring it, Amber replied. Graham remained by my side while she headed inside the tent.
Are you sure you can drive?
He asked. Of course. My tailbone still hurts, but I'll manage. A playful twinkle appeared in his eyes.
Massage.
The thought of his hands on me was doing naughty things to my body despite the pain.
No, thanks.
Almost unconsciously, I touched the sore spot and winced.
I'd feel better if you'd let me drive you. You could lie in the back, Graham said.
Worry replaced the playful twinkle. I felt as if someone had wrapped a warm blanket around me. Graham, I'm a big girl. It's nothing, but thanks for the offer. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Amber returned with my tote, and I asked them to excuse me from the rest of the party. I couldn't say goodbye myself, given the state of my dress. When I climbed in my car, pain seared the base of my spine the second my ass touched the seat. Maybe taking Graham up on his offer would have been smarter. Lying down instead of sitting sure sounded like a better plan, and it would have earned me more time with the handsome and charming man, but I powered through and started the engine. Despite the throbbing pain in my ass, I smiled a big, goofy smile. I caught my reflection in the rearview mirror. I looked a little loony. Then I buried my face in my hands, even though no one could see me. My smile stretched into a grin against my palms. Val and Haley were right. They typically were. All these years, I hadn't just wanted to protect Milo, but myself, too. Before Graham, no man had made me want to dip my toe in the dating pool. Would this be a good idea? The man was disenchanted with marriage. He'd admitted it himself. But did it really matter? As my sisters realistically put it, dating led nowhere most of the time. It was a fun thing to do, and I hadn't had fun in a long time. Was it time for changes in my life? Could I handle them? I had no answers. But my loony grin remained in place the entire drive.
Chapter 11. The next morning, I arrived at Graham's house at the same time as the florist, Gigi.
You can start setting everything up in the tent. I'll be with you in a few minutes. Need to get my stuff inside first, I informed her. I was already wearing my wedding suit, but I had a spare blouse and shoes, so I'd be covered in case I had another mishap like yesterday. I wanted to bring them to the room Graham had told me I'd be staying in. I realized Graham's car wasn't in his driveway. Even though he had a detached two-car garage next to the guest house, he never used it. Did he have errands to run? If he did, they couldn't be wedding-related, because I had all those on my schedule. As I deposited my things in the gorgeous room, I started wondering if my staying here was really a good idea. Wouldn't it be wiser and safer to drive home after the wedding ended and return the next morning? It probably was the smartest thing to do, but the reality was, I'd only sleep a wink if I did that. I'd be a zombie when I'd take my boy to Universal Studios tomorrow afternoon, and he deserved my full attention. 4 hours of sleep were better than one. I was staying. For my boy,
I told myself. Not because I was hoping to get glimpses of Graham during the night. Does he sleep in shorts? Naked? Nor was I hoping to accidentally bump into him after he showered. I chastised myself for giving so much thought to scenarios I didn't want to occur. But just like last night, the more I tried not to think about Graham, the more I did. Before heading out, I checked my phone for any calls or emails from vendors. To my dismay, I discovered an email from Jeff. From Jeff Finn to Lori Connor. I've tried your old number, but it's disconnected, and your assistants won't give me your new one. Don't play games. I just want to catch up. I snorted, shaking my head. I had no intention of calling him. My phone number wasn't listed on my website, only a number that connected to my assistant's phones. I was thankful my girls hadn't given him my number. I wasn't interested in his booty calls. I'd long since given up on the idea that he'd want to be involved in Milo's life. He'd tossed us aside because Milo's existence wasn't convenient for him. An unexpected child was too much to handle while training to become a doctor. As usual, his emails soured my mood, but I tried my best to lose myself in the day's tasks. Gigi and I put up the flower arrangements in the tent in no time at all, then focused on setting up an orchid arch at the main entrance. The delicate flowers looked even more beautiful against the limestone exterior of the house. We moved on to the deck next, arranging garlands of roses and orchids on the ceremony aisle and officiating table. We left the glass railing unadorned, so everyone had a clear view of the ocean. The chairs still had to be delivered, and I was eyeing the time on my phone almost compulsively. The delivery should arrive in 10 minutes, and I hoped they wouldn't be late. Managing weddings was a lot like building a puzzle. One had to coordinate all the moving parts. I'd built in buffer time in case one of the vendors was late, but I'd rather not have to rely on that. When I walked Gigi to her car, I spotted Graham's Range Rover. He was back. Energy zipped through me, and the man wasn't even in sight. I counted the personal flowers twice, Gigi said. Don't worry, I counted them once too. All there. It was my responsibility to distribute the personal flowers before the ceremony. Thanks, Gigi. Your arrangements are lovely, as usual. The chairs arrived as Gigi left. They were simple white chairs, a sturdy but festive-looking plastic. I planned to purchase similar ones soon. Wedding planning was a profitable business. I wouldn't have gone into it otherwise, no matter how much it spoke to my romantic soul. But owning decorative sets was the way to make the big bucks in this business. Linens, tablecloths, decorations of all kinds. Maintaining an inventory was tricky. One had to always be on top of the trends and sell existing stock before it went out of style. Typically, the items that were hottest this wedding season were already out of style the next one. I currently owned a large assortment of decorations and tablecloths, but I was always looking to expand, and I'd had quite a few couples who'd wanted the ceremony in locations where one had to bring everything from seats to officiating table. The driver and I arranged the chairs in straight rows on both sides of the aisle on the deck. While I maneuvered the seats, my body hummed in a way it hadn't before. Was Graham inside the house on the upper floors? Was he watching? There was a smaller deck directly above this one, but I suspected one could see the outer edges of the lower deck from that window. I risked a glance over my shoulder once. The sun reflected against the glass front on the upper floor, but I thought I could make out Graham's shape anyway. The humming in my body intensified. My pulse was erratic. I felt it in my throat, my chest, between my thighs. After the driver left, I had a window of about 30 minutes until the next vendor was slated to arrive with the special brand of champagne that Matt ordered. I resolved to head to my room and freshen up a bit in the meantime. Perspiration had gathered under my armpits during all that chair maneuvering. I also wanted to use my curling iron on a few strands. I'd slept without taking down the ponytail and carefully splaying the curls on my pillow, but they still needed retouching. It was a beautiful day for a wedding. The sun was shining, the gentle breeze from the sea was refreshing. I headed straight upstairs without passing through the living room. When I stepped in my bedroom, I ran into an unpleasant surprise. A beautiful dress was laid out on my bed, turquoise silk with a white band around the middle.
Had I brought my things to the wrong room? It looked like it, though the rightful occupant didn't seem to have left any other possessions around. I was relieved that I wouldn't be spending the night alone with Graham.